Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Ian here with PDC. Thank you for joining us for our English worship service. Today is the first Sunday in 2021. And I can remember on December 31st, 2019, thinking about the new year that was to come, looking forward to 2020, and all of the hopes and expectations that I had for that year. And I made one of the fatal errors of pride, where you say to yourself, how on earth could 2020 be worse than 2019? Friends, we look back on the old year, the year that was, and we see all of the problems, the mistakes, the disasters that happened. And we make a similar mistake. We look forward to 2021 and think, how on earth could it possibly be any worse? In movies, it's one of those things that happens where one of the characters, the moment they say the words, how could it get any worse, you know that it's going to get worse. The new year is a time when we have this newfound optimism in the year to come, where it baffles all rationality, where we just look ahead and say, well, because it's new, we're going to choose to believe that it's going to be better, that it has to be better. It's a time when people make resolutions to decide that they want to get rid of the old habits of their old life, and instead they want to pick up their new habits, to make resolutions to lose weight, to stop eating so much chocolate, to spend some more time with their kids, to spend more time focused on their career, to make more money. And oftentimes, we look forward to 2021 and we make the same mistakes that we made in 2019, where we think the new year has to be better than the old one. Friends, as we look in Scripture today, we see a man who has a fatal flaw, pride, where he believes that he himself is greater than God, that his kingdom is more powerful and more majestic, and he doesn't give God the credit that he deserves. And because of that, he suffers. And we look at our world and we foolishly believe that all these things that we have accomplished, that all these things that we have built, that they are somehow a reflection of us and our power and our goodness and our strength and our intelligence, when really everything that we have is as a result of God's goodness to us and his mercy to us, to allow us to have what we do, to give us the new day, to give us the new year. These are all gifts that we have from God. But ultimately, at the end of the day, every good thing that we have comes from God. And it's up to us when we go into this year to not make the same mistake that we did in 2019, when we looked forward to the new year and say, it surely must be better, without giving God his credit or his due. So if you look with me in Daniel chapter 4, we will read together starting in verse 28, all the way to verse 33. It says, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, as he was walking on the roof of the palace in Babylon, the great king exclaimed, is this not Babylon the Great, that I have built to be a royal residence by my vast power and for my majestic glory? While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals, and you will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time, until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants. At that moment, the message against Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people. He ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky, until his hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. This is God's word. Last week, if you remember, the king had gone to Daniel and said, listen, I'm having some terrible nightmares, and I need your help to understand them. And Daniel explained to him that he was going to suffer for a period of time, but that it might be alleviated if instead of choosing to be proud and focusing on himself, if he then turned away from his sin, if he chose to do mercy to deal with his previous injustice. And we can clearly see here that Nebuchadnezzar did not listen, because what we see here is Nebuchadnezzar walking on the rooftop of one of his palaces saying, is not Babylon the Great that I've built to be a royal residence by my vast power and for my majestic glory? The focus is still on himself and as himself as king, and how great it is that he has built this thing, how majestic and how powerful. All these words that should have been reserved for God, he instead chose to send for himself, to focus on himself and his power and his majesty. And because of this, he actually fulfills the dream that he himself had, where a voice from heaven comes down and says that he will lose his kingdom, that he'll be driven away from people to live with the wild animals, that he will feed on grass like cattle, until he acknowledges that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants. What we see here is the price of Nebuchadnezzar's pride. Nebuchadnezzar's proud, and perhaps we might look and be like, well, yeah, he probably should be. He's the king over a vast empire, a vast kingdom. He has power, he has chariots, he has conquered his enemies, he has built massive structures. I went to Washington, D.C. about 3 or 4 years ago, and just walking through the streets, you see these architectural masterpieces where they're built and designed to show off their power, to show you that this is the American capital, that this is the American city that demonstrates their power to the world, just how it's designed. And Nebuchadnezzar must have been thinking the same way, that when he's building these things, he's not doing it because he's bored and he has nothing to do, but he wants everyone who sees it to know that he is powerful and he is strong. But all this does is build up heaven's anger against him. Instead of focusing on God and saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me what I have. Thank you for giving me this kingdom that I get to rule. Thank you for giving me this palace that I can enjoy. Instead, he says, is this not great? And that have I not built this to be royal residence by my vast power and for my majestic glory? He makes the crucial error of thinking that he actually managed to accomplish this all by himself, even though everything that he had was as a result of God giving him his breath, his life, the day, all these things that he had that he never gave God credit for, that he forgot, really never belonged to him in the first place. Friends, we look back on 2020 and we forget that this year, even though it was terrible, even though it is the year that arguably many of us will remember for our entire lifetimes, that just moving to the new year does not fix the problems of the old one. We can say, yes, the pandemic is terrible, that it is awful, that so many people have died, that so many people have lost their jobs, and it is true. And we mourn with people who have lost family members. We support people who are sick. We remember those in prayer who have lost jobs or who are looking for jobs or are trying to support their family. And we look to our neighbors to the south in shock that they can be losing between 3,000 to 4,000 people every single day from this virus. But we make the wrong assumption that as long as this particular virus is gone, that once we have the vaccine, that once everybody is vaccinated, that then we can get back to normal. Then the world can get back to normal. And we forget that all that we have is really only as a result of God. That is he who chooses, who is the ruler of human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants. This pandemic has shown us that we are still mortal. That it doesn't matter how hard we try, there are some things that are still outside of our capacity to fix, to solve, and to prevent. That in our pride, we wrongly thought that we could just go into the new year and it would be better than the old one, and that there's nothing that we can't accomplish if we work together. And then we had this pandemic hit where we put up our hands and said, the only thing we can do is stay away from each other. Nebuchadnezzar is separated from his people. He is forced to live as if he is a wild animal, alone, away from people. Instead of having showers, he literally would just have the rain fall on him from the sky, and he didn't go to hairstylist. His hair grew like eel's feathers, and man, does he need a manicure, because his fingernails are like bird's claws. He is cut off from humanity. He is no longer the king of Babylon. He is now just some wild thing. We look at our world, and we understand that even if we don't have the coronavirus pandemic, there are still many things in our world that are terrible for people to live with. Think about how many thousands of children struggle every single day, even before the pandemic began, just being able to eat enough food to survive. Or how many were struggling because they would be catching malaria or because they would be drinking dirty water and they'd be getting sick. How many thousands of unborn children die every single year when people choose to abort them? Think about all the people in the world who suffer, even not even thinking about the pandemic. And we still look forward to 2021 and we have that human optimism that says this year has to be better than the old one. How could it not be? In my pride, I think to myself, what do I need God for? I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I'm clever. I'm well connected. I know people. I have a good support network. And perhaps many of you think the same way. So what do I really need God for? Look at all that I've built. Look at this business that I have. Look at this job that I've got. Look at all that I have. Look at this nice car that protects me. Think about all the things that I have done by my own power. And subconsciously, without thinking it, we praise ourselves instead of God. And we forget to honor him for what he has done. We forget that by ourselves, we are nothing. By ourselves, we can accomplish nothing. That everything is by God's will, and he allows us to live. Nebuchadnezzar stays this way because he is proud, because he refuses to acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms. And we live in a democracy where we choose our leaders. But when was the last time we actually acknowledged that God is the ruler of our country? When did we acknowledge that he is the ruler of our world? When was the last time we stopped and gave honor and praise to God instead of to ourselves? Nebuchadnezzar's fatal flaw is the fatal flaw of all of us. The deep-seated pride of humankind. That pride that believes that in ourselves we have the capacity to do whatever it is that we set our minds to. That ultimately the only thing that limits us, there may be structural problems, but ultimately it's will and determination and drive. But what we see here is that it is God who chooses who rules. That it is God who dictates whether King Nebuchadnezzar believes that he is an animal in the field or if he is the king of a leading country in the world. Friends, we look forward to the new year because the last year sucked, because it was awful, because it's a very human thing to do, to wish, to hope, to pray that something better this way comes. But ultimately, it is God alone who chooses the number of days we have. It is God alone who chooses where we live or how long we live for. It is God who chooses what job we have. And whatever he chooses to bless you or me with, that is his decision and not ours. It's up to us to recognize his authority as king above all and to treat him that way. To not think of ourselves as better than we are, but to remember that by ourselves we are nothing. That we are like Nebuchadnezzar, we are just like the wild animals. Eating on grass like cattle until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over any human kingdom. Friends, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the old goes away and the new comes. And there's a certain amount of imagery for the new year that we can leave behind the year that was 2020 and we can pick up the new year of 2021 and we can hope and we can pray and say, Lord, please bless us this year. Please help us to have a safer year. Please help to move this pandemic away. Please help. And there's nothing wrong with praying for those things. There's nothing wrong for asking God for help. There's nothing wrong for hoping for something better. The question is, where is our hope? And what do we place our trust? Is it in ourselves and our own power? Is it in the power of our collective effort? Is it in the belief that our country can do better this year than the last year? Is our GDP up this year? Is unemployment down? Those are the kind of questions that can oftentimes take too much of my attention. And ultimately, the numbers 2020 and 2021, it's just a number. Really what matters is God and what he chooses to do for us. And how do we respond to his goodness and his mercy year by year by year? Because Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen to Daniel. He didn't choose to separate himself from his sins to do what is right. He didn't choose to do mercy to those in need. Instead, he chose to just do exactly what he had done before anyways. And many of us, when we have done resolutions, statistically, they don't last very long. Usually they last until February or March. But Nebuchadnezzar would only be free the moment he gave up his pride and acknowledged that God himself was king over all. And friends, that's my encouragement for all of us. That this year wouldn't be about how do we improve ourselves? How do we get a new job? How do we focus on bettering ourselves? How do we focus on this or on that? My prayer, my hope is that instead we'd be focused on praising God for what he has done, for putting aside our pride and focusing on how great we are, but instead to pick up our cross and humbly follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives, to treat people with respect, not because they are owed respect, but because the one who loved us, Jesus Christ, respected us first. That we spend our lives not focused on what we can get or what we can have, but on loving our Savior and by doing what honors him, which is loving one another, by teaching one another about Jesus Christ. For some of us, it may mean being baptized by finally giving up that pridefulness that says, I'll get baptized when I fix myself, but instead saying, no, I will be baptized when the Lord allows it and to bring him praise. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar's fault was that he was thinking of himself as king and he forgot, or he didn't choose to look at God as king. But when we look at God as our king, and we take our lead from him, and we follow his example, and we follow his rules and his law, then what we see is that our lives change for the better, not because we choose to fix ourselves, but because the natural product of following God is that his Holy Spirit changes our lives. That we stop focusing on the trivial and the minor, that we focus instead on the kingdom. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't change between December 31st to January 1st. But it happens as a result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to change us from the inside out, to make us more like Jesus Christ. And for some of us, that actually means acknowledging our own sinfulness, acknowledging that we need Jesus in our lives. Friends, this week I had one night where I experienced a dream that was unlike any other that I'd ever experienced. And it shook me to my core because in the dream, I experienced something profoundly evil that terrified me. And I woke up and all I could do was pray and ask God to help. Because in that moment, it didn't matter that I knew that ultimately it was just a dream. It didn't matter that I could rationally explain what was happening. It didn't matter that I told myself, it's fine, I'll be better in the morning, because the moment my wife got grabbed the bottle of water that's right beside our bed, inside my spirit just shook in fear, like I'd never felt before. And it was a reminder to me that, yes, I am proud, that I think I can fix myself, that ultimately I think that I myself am powerful enough to keep my spirit safe from anything that comes against it, that I can think my way out of any problem. Friends, as afraid as I was in that moment, as damaging and damning as my pride was in that moment, it pushed me forward and closer to Jesus Christ. Because in that moment, when I realized how much I relied on myself, the only one I could turn to save me was Jesus Christ. It wasn't my wife. It wasn't my friends. It wasn't myself. It wasn't my ingenuity or my cleverness. None of that mattered and none of that worked. That the only one who could save me in that moment was Jesus Christ. That it was his blood that made me clean, that would protect me from anything that came against me. So friends, my prayer is that for 2021, we would focus on our need for Jesus Christ in our lives. And if you don't know him as your Savior, my encouragement to you is to put aside the pride that you have, to put aside any of the sinful things that you've done, and to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way to have a restored, real relationship with the God who made you. That he alone is powerful, enough to rise or fall kingdoms. And then for those of us who know Jesus Christ, to do as Daniel instructed, to separate ourselves from our sins by doing what is right, by showing mercy to the needy. It's not good enough to just say, yep, God is king. I believe that he is king. And then to go on with your life, to go along your merry way and not change anything. But instead, to dedicate ourselves to serving him. And as good servants, that means doing what pleases him, which is loving each other, serving each other. Not just in the church, but within your friends or your family. By helping, by loving them. And not turning away from the fact that the reason why you're doing it is because Jesus Christ loved you first. Without God, all we are is a madman driven away from his people, living with like the wild animals, feeding on grass. And we look at that and we're like, oh, I'm definitely not that. But if you think about it, if we're foolish enough to hold on to our sinful ways, to hold on to our pride, then we're no different from King Nebuchadnezzar. True, we might have nicer hair. Maybe we have better manicured nails. Maybe we look like we've got our life figured out. But deep down, we're just as foolish. And ultimately, we don't have anything figured out. Let 2021 be the year when we choose to honor God with our lives, to not honor ourselves, to not engage or to build on our pride, but when we choose to give it up, to give it all up for Jesus, and to follow him with everything we've got. Amen.